Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the environmental aspect or environmental contribution to depression.
Right. Continuing our theme that depression is very complex.
Yes.
Yesterday we talked about biological factors that are implicated in depression.
Right.
And today we're going to take a look at the environmental factors
right.
that are implicated in depression.
Right. And I think that as we get started with this, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that, you know, while anyone can experience depressive symptoms, you know, that sadness or withdrawal or fatigue, you know, if you lose a loved one or something like that, anyone can experience those kinds of symptoms. But when it comes to depression, diagnostic clinical depression.
Right.
You know, we're going to have an interplay between biology and environment.
Right.
It's not, you know, I don't know that I would, and I haven't thought about it until right now. I don't know if
this is always good when he suddenly he gets these bursts of inspiration.
Got an idea.
Okay. And I always, I've told you before, whenever Bernie comes, I have an idea, I always start to shiver a little bit because it means
work.
More work. Right. It usually results in a lot more work.
This isn't more work though. But okay. I have an idea about, I wonder if, you know, if it's possible for a person who has no, like all the biological stuff that could be related to depression.
Right.
If a person has none of those.
So you have no genetic predisposition, brain is okay, structurally, chemically, everything's
cool.
Right.
If everything's fine biologically, can the person experience a depressive disorder just simply from the environment? Right. I don't think so. Intuitively, I would say no. That you will, again, you can have some of those symptoms, but it would be temporary. You know, these are the people who experience significant or profound loss or really bad things could happen in their life, but they tend to adjust and adapt well.
Think of a refugee from Syria, for example, what those poor people have gone through all these years. Displaced,
right?
Fearful, have already lost
family
members. So you're saying, would that result in clinical depression?
Well, I thought you were going to go with examples from them, where you have people who went through that and experienced profound depression and things, but you also have people who went through some of those same things. And they're doing well. They're functioning in their...
The concentration camp literature has the same same phenomenon there. Elie Wiesel wrote about that in one of his books. So it does affect some and not others, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that I think that there has to be some... And I'm being
biological?
Careful when I'm being careful when I say it, because, again, I don't want us to get pigeonholed into the idea that, okay, so it is a chemical imbalance. Because I don't, that's oversimplifying it, and right. I don't want to fall into that trap. But it's my impression that, yes, there has to be some biological something.
Predisposition?
Some biological predisposition that... reinforces the development of a major depressive disorder. Again, I think you can have the symptoms, but I don't think that you will develop the full disorder unless you have some of those biological roots.
Interesting. Yeah, because we talk about epigenetics.
Right.
You know, where environment can even influence gene expression, which it does in severe neglect. We know that severe neglect can lead to changes in your DNA.
Right.
But do you have to be predisposed
right.
in order for that to trigger,
right.
in order for that to click?
Right.
Oh,
Or do you have to, even if you don't have some of that biological root, mm-hmm. you can have the epigenetic influence.
Right.
But that only happens if you don't have some of those protective factors that prevent the right. epigenetics from really changing things. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating.
Told you.
I can't help it.
Okay. So,
because in the article that we're looking at right. today, mm-hmm. That we have a link in the show notes, it talks a little bit about the relationship between biological pieces, Absolutely. Components, mm-hmm. Sort of those genes that mm-hmm. that are associated or are theoretically associated,
right.
and the environment.
Right. And we always talk about all of these disorders as being biopsychosocial, right. the biology, the psychology, temperament, mm-hmm. and then social is the environment.
Right.
So it's some relationship among the three. Right. And if they line up properly, there you have it.
Right.
And we used to say that when I was at the University of Texas, that we had our students work at a rehab center, and they always used a biopsychosocial model and said, you know, many of the kids, they can have two factors. They can have a biological predisposition and a bad environment, but they have the temperament to withstand it. They have a resilient temperament, so mm-hmm. they can withstand it. But if you have three factors, you almost always right. express the disorder. One factor, low risk. Two factors, depends what they are. Three factors, you express. Three factors being the biological, psychological, and social, the environmental.
Right. I'm gonna have to give a lot more thought to this. Yeah. But so when we think about environmental factors, you know, mm-hmm. you have things from the outside and things from the inside,
right?
Right. So you have your own thoughts, your own ideas, your own experiences, and some of those right. kinds of things that mm-hmm. you memories and stuff that you pull from that could contribute to the expression of depression.
Right.
And then you have the immediate externalized the world mm-hmm. in which you're interacting with at any given moment
right.
that could elicit or contribute to depressive symptoms.
Right. Yeah, because when we talk about the events, we typically refer to them events that can trigger
right.
a depressive episode.
Right.
And that would be loss, mm-hmm. grief, any kind of change.
Right.
And different people react differently to that.
Right.
But what is different is is your basic temperament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so you want to consider... All of us experience these life events,
right?
Okay, you can't escape them, but when the event occurs, how you manage it is largely a function of your basic temperament.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are flexible, mm-hmm. resilient,
right.
tolerant. Other people are brittle, intolerant, mm-hmm. inflexible,
mm-hmm.
and we have the analogy of the trees
right.
that we've used. In fact, we use it as our logo. If you're a big, strong oak, but you're inflexible,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to knock you down. If you're a right. skinny little willow, but you can bend mm-hmm. as circumstances change, you tend to survive. You don't get mm-hmm. uprooted. Same with people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a resilient personality, and you have... You have personal resources. You can withstand some of these events.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that temperament is sort of, I like to think of temperament as sort of the filter that all these things go through, and mm-hmm. your ability to adapt and you know what comes out the other end kind of mm-hmm. depends on how good the filter is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So again, when we have these internal factors and the external
events.
Events.
Things like early life experiences, mm-hmm. were they good or bad?
Right.
That would be one. Early life events would be one.
And I think that's, as we think about this, external factors eventually become internal factors.
You internalize.
Right.
You internalize it.
Right. So if you're having a bad experience, if you're right. being abused, for example, right. that's an external thing that's happening right now.
To you.
Right. From the outside mm-hmm. of your body.
Right.
A year from now, that experience has been internalized, mm-hmm. and now it's an internalized trigger
right.
or internalized factor mm-hmm. that is going to influence how you manage right. things. Yeah.
So you have those early life events. Then you have provoking mm-hmm. life events, bad things that happen to people, mm-hmm. Provoking mm-hmm. life events. You might also have seasonal changes. You know, some people respond to seasonal changes. Mm-hmm. We know all about that. And then there's also the amount of social support that you have. Mm-hmm. Speaking of movies and videos, I always use the example of the Waltons. Mm-hmm. You don't remember that, do you? Did you?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
Yeah. Good night, John Boy.
Yeah. And they lived in this...
I didn't really watch it too much.
They lived in this idyllic setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three generations in the house. There were the grandparents and the parents and several, seven or eight children. During the Depression, which was a very, very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
But you had all this family support. So mm-hmm. no matter what problems anybody was having, you had this wonderful family support. So you may have had a genetic predisposition to a disorder, but and you certainly had difficult life events because they were in the Depression, but you had this wonderful family support. Mm-hmm. Take that away
mm-hmm.
or make it a negative right. experience, a violent household, mm-hmm. Drugs or alcohol induced anger, change the social situation, and you can easily trigger right. a depressive episode.
Right.
So you have early life events, provoking life events, social supports, and the seasonal changes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of those externals can move a person toward depression. Whether you express it or not depends on the internal mm-hmm. factors, what right. things we've talked about, like resilience and
right.
all that.
Yeah. Okay?
So the internal factors, hormones, biology, your rhythms, your biological rhythms,
right.
all that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I tell my patients who have depression is, you know, one of the most important things you can do to help manage your depression is to stay in a good routine. You know,
that's right.
getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eating well and those kinds of things. Right. Not just for the sake of eating well and, right. and getting good sleep, because we all need to do that, but it's being in that routine, it's being
right.
that being consistent and allowing your body the opportunity to sort of find that satisfaction, that comfort in routine.
You can't mess with these biological rhythms.
Right.
It's hard to overstate their importance. We certainly discovered it with shift work,
right?
Okay, where we know that people who work three different shifts,
mm-hmm.
when they start to disrupt their normal patterns, it becomes problematic
mm-hmm.
because your body wants to be in a rhythm. We're,
right.
we're structured to be in some kind of biological, we call it circadian rhythm,
mm-hmm.
some kind of rhythm, and we like the routine.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Little
mm-hmm.
babies like routine,
right.
and they like, and so do adults, except
right.
we violate that principle.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as you can, stay on the same routine. Don't blow it out on the weekends. That's
right.
why people feel bad on Mondays, because
right.
they stay up too late, they drink too
yeah.
much, they eat too much, thinking that it's, but you upset those biological rhythms
mm-hmm.
and you pay a price
right.
later on.
And it's not a happenstance. It's not coincidental
mm-hmm.
that when we think of things like temperament,
right.
the main thing that we look at as it relates to what temperament a child is how well they take to routines.
That's right.
You know,
that's
kids
right.
with difficult routines or difficult temperament
mm-hmm.
do not take to routines very well.
Right. That's right.
Their body doesn't get into that.
And we always
rhythm.
That's true. We always ask that. Did
mm-hmm.
you when you brought your child home from the hospital, your neonate, your infant, did she settle into a nice sleep schedule? Did she
mm-hmm.
settle into a nice elimination schedule, a feeding schedule? You know, and did she
mm-hmm.
develop that nice rhythm? Because children who don't develop that rhythm and develop colic and these
mm-hmm.
other disorders, those can become problematic later.
Right. Right.
Okay. So yes, circadian rhythms, those biological rhythms, are really important.
Right.
So
right.
stay on your schedule.
Right.
No, don't
right.
say don't stay up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on weekends.
Yeah.
Bad for you.
Yeah, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
So as you said, we have these events that happen in
mm-hmm.
our environment that can trigger a depressive episode, but the goal would
mm-hmm.
be to minimize
right.
those triggers to
mm-hmm.
to decrease
that's
the
right.
impact that those triggers have on our system, on our life, mm-hmm. on our mood, right. I guess, so that it doesn't
right.
result in a depressive episode.
And we, before we leave this topic, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the ACEs study,
right.
ACES, the adverse
childhood experiences.
And we know that wonderful research coming out of many states now, but started in California, where these difficult early experiences can continue to wreak havoc on right. your physical and mental health throughout your life. Mm. So we can't underestimate the effects that these difficult events have on us.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The final piece, I think, for today mm-hmm. is, we'll get into this on Saturday as well, but just as life circumstances, environmental factors can increase the risk of depression, mm-hmm. environmental factors can also decrease depressive symptoms.
That's
and
right.
depress. So when it comes to, you know, if you live in this environment that's mm-hmm. that's really fostering right. your depressive mood, mm-hmm. You know, when you get out of that environment, when you remove yourself from those triggers and you get into a more positive, a more supportive environment, you find that your depressive symptoms decrease.
Right. And it's a really good point that you make, because we all have, when we talk about our temperament or personality or whatever it is we have, we all have disposing factors, mm-hmm. things that predispose us to depression.
Right.
But we also all have protective factors.
Right.
And what we're suggesting here is that you activate the protective factors. They're there,
right. Right.
Okay? And that's what we mean by you can't give in to this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to work to activate the protective factors rather than giving in to the disposing. We
right.
all have both. We all
right.
have disposing factors.
Yes.
We all have protective factors. You have to activate the protective factors.
I think that is so critical that I'm going to repeat that. We all have both. We all have predisposing
right.
risks.
Mm-hmm.
We also all have protective factors.
Right.
And the whole key to successful treatment mm-hmm. is successfully utilizing our protective factors.
And not giving in.
And right. It is a battle.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
It's a battle, but it is possible. It is absolutely possible to overcome the symptoms, whether it's in the environment or it's internalized or whichever.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to activate those protective factors.
Right.
And that is, you know, that's the key to a lot of therapy that we do. So,
right.
Again, we'll get into that more specifically on Saturday.
Yeah, we can bring that up again on Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
All right. That is it for today then. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.